Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, all you lovely ladies. I am just so excited to be here with you again today. In case you can tell, I'm super excited. I am Leanne Fuller, and I want to welcome you all to Your Fuller Life. So I'm excited that in this segment of Welcome to Your Fuller Life, we'll be talking about friendship. Let's talk about friendship. We're going to be joined by Lori Stansel. By definition, friendship means the quality or state of being friendly, showing kindness, interest, and goodwill toward another. Our friendships all vary in degree of both emotional and purposeful benefit. However, not all friendships are created equally. Like all relationships, professional or personal, friendships must be cultivated, developed, nourished. When dealing with people in life, one has to be keenly aware of the seasons, the reasons, the duration, and the purpose when it comes to where on the friendship circle a person is placed. Also, equally important is for one to strive to be or to become the kind of friend that they would like to have. By being genuine in acts of charity, compassion, empathy, forgiveness. So let's talk about friendship. It's so important. It's such a great topic, and people don't always talk about it. So I just want to take a minute just to share a little bit about my unstoppable sister, my friend, and my fellow number one international best-selling author. Simply put, Lori is a lover of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, her heart is dedicated to Him, and she is committed to living in His love and growing by His grace. Coming from a long line of educators and teachers, some would say Lori was born to inform, educate, inspire, and empower. A woman with her sights set on living out her destiny. Lori is a minister, an inspirational speaker, an amazing speaker at that, a life coach, an entrepreneur, and, as I already said, a number one international best-selling author. Lori is divinely called to the nations and walks in a determination of purpose and passion, which makes her undeniably unstoppable in life and in business. Lori is the founder and director of Practical Living Ministries based here in the United States. With its ever-growing global presence, it is important the message of the kingdom of Christ is understood and grasped by women from all walks of life, which is so important, ladies. Lori and her team work tirelessly to equip Christian women to grow in their faith, stand firm in their beliefs, and to live a good life with God that He has prepared for them. She is raising up international change agents. With over 20 years of ministerial and leadership training, international education, and business experience, along with an MS in organizational leadership, she has risen to become a leader second to none, forging alliances and building collaborative efforts which have brought about lasting change on a global scale. And I've got to say, I'm just honored and humbled to have been a collaborative partner with Lori now in multiple projects. Multiple global projects. So Lori is, she is amazing, and she is a force to be reckoned with. She really is. So I would like to introduce Lori Stansel. How are you?
Oh, fine. How are you? This is so exciting. I'm so thrilled.
I know, and I'm so glad to finally be able to connect again and have you on the show. I'm so happy.
I know, you know, it took a little bit of doing, but we made it work. We didn't give up. We made it work.
Yes, yes, we did. That's the important thing. We didn't give up.
Exactly.
Don't ever give up, ladies.
Exactly. You know, I think that's what makes us unstoppable, because we don't give up.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So before we jump in and we jump in and start talking about friendships, I do want to invite anybody who has any questions for Lori or I just to hop on the call with us. The number is 657-383-1577. And you would just dial the number 1 to get on with us. So if you're listening on the phone, all you have to do is dial 1 to get on with us. If you're listening online, just give us a call and you can join us, ask any questions. I would love to hear some of your guys' craziest things some of you and your friends have done. I think that would be fun to hear. So please feel free to call in a little bit later on the show. So Lori, let's jump right in. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So I really want to start off because I know I gave a lot about you. So tell us a little more about you that I haven't covered already.
Well, you know, what you said was, you know, the bio and all that, but I think really just in a nutshell, just a person who has discovered why I exist and have just been relentless in living that purpose out. And by doing so, I've been able to experience the life that I believe God designed me to have from before I was born. So, you know, and through that life, I've just learned lessons. You know, I've learned through experience. Mm-hmm. I've learned through listening to other people. I've learned from mistakes. But, you know, all of that has just culminated to make me the kind of person that I believe is able and equipped and more than capable to help other people, because I'm not just talking something that I read. I'm sharing from my heart and from my experiences the things that I had to conquer and overcome to move forward in life.
Yeah, yeah, which I think is something that we all have to learn to do. It really is.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, so tell us, you know, you're talking about overcoming your obstacles and learning from your experiences. So, you know, I've talked about the successful minister and leader and international educator and the author. So tell us, how did you get there? Have you always been down this road that God has laid out for you, or were there bumps in the road?
Of course, there were bumps in the road. My goodness, there still are bumps in the road. Actually, I've just become better at maneuvering, but you know, no one starts off as even an overnight success is not really an overnight success. I think that term gives a false sense of expectation. I think that for us, it looks like this person is an overnight success, but that person is like, no, I've been grinding for 20 years, people. You guys just now noticed me. You know, so for me, I just had to trust the process. I had to trust God, and I had to not be afraid to step out and fail. And I know that sounds really crazy, because who would want to even do something if they thought they were going to fail? But I learned really early on in life that if you take everything that you've gone through and you learn how to make it a learning moment or a moment that helps you to change, then even if the project or the task that you attempted to do failed, you fail forward, because now you've learned from that to move on. So it has not been, you know, an easy road, but I don't regret anything at all. I know that it's all part of making me who I am today.
Yeah, which who you are is amazing today. And I love the failing forward. I love that. And it's so true. You live and you learn, and that's great. So,
yes, you do. And sometimes that's the best way to learn.
Yes. Yeah. Great how you mentioned that, you know, you see this person and you think that they just, it all happened overnight. Here you see them. You haven't seen all of the struggles. Like you said, they've been going at it for 20 years. People don't see that. So that's something, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's something for everybody out there. Don't compare yourself to these people that you see that you think have this overnight success, because there is no such thing as overnight success. No overnight success. Jeez. So just keep working at it. So enough of fumbling around with that. I am so eager to know, with everything you have going on, why is it so important to you to talk about friendship?
You know, when we first talked about this, us doing the show together, I had given you another topic, and I just didn't have thoughts about it. And I was like, okay, obviously this is not the topic that we were supposed to talk about, because I didn't have a piece about the topic. I didn't feel settled. And I don't know, one day I was just sitting and relaxing, and it came to my mind, friendship, talk about friendship. And as I started really thinking about that word, I realized that, especially now, I think we need to really understand and place more value on relationships. I don't think that people are doing that now. And I think that we're seeing the outcome of that, you know, of being, you know, me-focused, I-centric, you know, not being that person that is mutually beneficial, having a relationship that's mutually beneficial and not all just one-sided. So I feel like it's time for us to talk about friendships and what is a friendship, how do you become a good friend, what does it mean to have a good friend? I think that as we go through this topic over the next hour, I think that the people listening will hopefully start to reexamine their relationships and even reexamine themselves and say, like, have I been the friend that I've always wanted? You know, have I dropped the ball? Or is there a friendship that I need to let go? So I think it's a good time. We're in a good time to talk about it. We're at the end of the year, and we're kind of looking ahead to 2018. I think it's a good time to kind of self-reflect on relationships.
You know, you're so right. And what kept coming to mind for me when you were talking about all of that is we don't realize that we are a combination of the five closest people we surround ourselves with.
Exactly.
So it's a great time to reflect on, who do you have around you? Is that how you want to be seen? Is that who you want to be?
Exactly. And you know, it's interesting that you do that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I want you to finish your point, because I think we're on to the same, we're in the same lane.
Yes. Go ahead.
For sure. I think that, you know, when you said about the five people around you, the closest people around you, you know, you reflect who you believe you are. So, like you were saying, it's a good time to kind of look at that and say, okay, these are the people that are closest to me right now. Do they represent me, or are they reflecting a me that needs to change? Because, you know, you might be saying one thing, but if your circle is reflecting something else, then what you're saying and what you're projecting aren't lining up.
Because we draw the people to us of how we feel about ourselves. So, which is exactly what you're saying. We're attracting what we're thinking. What we're thinking about ourselves is the people that we're attracting to us. So if we're not happy with who we are and what we're doing, we're going to attract the people around us that we're not going to be so impressed. And it's always a direct reflection on who we are by who we surround ourselves with. So that's, you are so right. So right. Oh, that's
awesome. Becomes, you know, Leanne, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you believe that you're one way, and then you attract those individuals that reinforce that belief. And then you use that to confirm that you were right.
Yeah.
So it becomes this cycle who can't break out of. But it starts, I think the way to stop it is to self-reflect and really ask some really tough questions and answer them honestly.
Yeah. So, and I think that's part of it is you have these, you attract these people that are like how you really are because that's the vibe you're putting out there, and yet all these little things drive you nuts about that person. So it's almost like you have to look at that and say, why is that bothering me so bad? Like, what part of me is that reflecting on?
You know, so funny you say that because that's how the part with our children, you know.
Yes.
They reflect us, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I sounded like that when I was 12. Oh, my poor mother.
Yes.
I was like, gosh, I'm getting back through my child. Yeah.
And I see it in my children, and I'm like, I wonder why you're friends.
Oh, yes. I can relate.
So let me ask you, what does friendship mean to you?
Oh, my goodness. I that question is a heavy question, and thinking on it, friendship to me is absolutely invaluable because for me it's life-saving and life-giving. I can't even tell you the many times in my life that my friends, especially those in my inner circle, those that are closest to me, have literally saved my sanity, prayed me through, spoke prophetically into my life, gave me a scripture. I can't even imagine how different my life would have been had they not pulled me off a cliff a few times. And, you know, even the success that I've achieved in the past, you know, is connected to those relationships because in the bad times or in the valley times, they were the ones, those are the voices that I heard. You know, and they were drowning out my self-doubt talk and helping me to see who I really was through all the pain. You know, their input, their contributions have been so invaluable to me. They inspire me spiritually. They just help me to stay connected and focused on my purpose. I can't tell you. I mean, it's invaluable. I can't even put a price on those relationships because they really are life-giving and life-saving for me. I see God in my friends. I really do.
Wow. So, and I think you've kind of covered how important it is to have friends in our lives because you just nailed it on the head right there. They're the ones who are there for us when we doubt ourselves. We need to look at ourselves through our friends' eyes. And let them, we should have friends in our lives to build us up. Behind every great woman is a group of great women.
That's right. And you know what? So, and to take that statement even further, some are living and some are not living because we have those women that we have never met or have met and they have passed on that pioneered and paved the way. So you're absolutely right. We don't stand alone. We never do.
Yeah. How do you know if a friend is your true friend? How do we know? I mean, everybody is out there. You know, so many people have their own agenda. You know, so how do you know if somebody is your friend or if they're pretending to be a friend to get something or someone? You know, how do you know? Like, how do you tell?
You know, I think that you have to let time just reveal it. I think that There are some relationships, though, that if there's a spiritual connection, you kind of mm-hmm. just know, okay, this person is going to play a role in my life, or I'm going to play a role in their life. But for the most part, you just have to let time. You can't rush it. You can't, you know, I love talking mm-hmm. to young people because they like to go really fast on everything. And I'm always telling, you know, you have to slow down. You know, I know you
yeah.
want X, Z yesterday, but
mm-hmm.
there's a process that you can't skip over. And if you skip over it, it'll come back to bite you later. And so I think So identify a friend there. I think you just have to let that time pass. And also, too, I think you have to be looking for things that will link you together, because friendships
mm-hmm.
should be mutually beneficial, and they really a healthy
yeah.
friendship should not be one-sided. And so time will reveal intentions and motives, but also looking at a person's life and what they've done and saying, okay, is this something that aligns with what I believe in and what I'm doing? Because that also can help you to determine not just if a person's a friend, but how close they are to you. You know, are they in the inner circle, or are they further out?
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you think the whole internet, online, Facebook dynamic has changed our world as far as friends and the definition of friends or who we think are our friends?
I think it has given us a...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. As we're talking, it makes me realize how much that's changed now. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that. Because, you know, with kids, I got my teenage daughters, actually my adult daughters and one teenage daughter now, and I'm thinking, man, it's so different than it was back in our day.
It's very true, because I think with social media, you know, we all want to put our best face forward, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you're trying to determine, you know, trying to determine whether you should build a valuable relationship with someone, it's hard
mm-hmm.
to do that on social media because there's a false perception a lot of times. And so, for example, I was just watching a show where this person had stolen someone else's identity, and they just found a picture of anybody and was like, mm-hmm. this is me. And it wasn't even that person. It was a picture they found out of a stock photo or whatever.
Right.
And so
right.
It's so easy to give a perception that's not true, that's not authentic. And so it does make it a bit challenging to develop friendships. But I think that the same way the internet and social media has made it easier for people to connect, I think we have to also use it as a tool to do our homework as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to try to find out as much as we can about individuals. And for me, just being very prayerful, being very, very
mm-hmm.
prayerful, because I've had, you know, individuals reach out to me via social media, and they seemingly were wonderful, but something in my spirit was like, no. Not to say that they were
mm-hmm.
bad or what they were doing was bad, but something in me was like, no, don't connect there. And I think that we need to be more discerning, even more so. I think we need to have our spiritual antenna and, you know, up and running so that we can kind of discern, you know, through all of that to make the best choice when it comes to friendship.
Yeah.
But social media makes it a challenge. It's a blessing, but it also creates a whole different set of problems that you now have to navigate through.
Right. And, you know, the thing I love about Facebook is I have met so many. I know with kids, it's, you know, everybody's your best friend. You know them forever, but you don't really know them. If you know them online, yes, you get to know them, but you don't really know them. But as an adult, I have met so many amazing women and connected with so many amazing women that I never would have even had the opportunity to.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Without Facebook and without, but I do think we need to be cautious. You know,
be mindful. You know, like you said, you're meeting people and things are happening, but you have to remember that to the context in which you're working in, and always keep that somewhere in your mind as you're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. So one thing I love, I don't know about you, but do you have those friends that you can go years without talking and then you can pick up the phone and just, or even see them in person, pick up the phone, whatever it is, and just pick right up where you left off 10 years ago?
Yes. Absolutely.
Why do you think that is?
You know, it's so funny because, you know, I'm just thinking, I think it might just be because there's a bond there that has, at some point, enough time was spent where a bond was formed, and it allows you to believe and trust in the credibility of the relationship. So when you meet up again, you don't have to start over because that reliability is still intact. Nothing has happened between the time that you last spoke to cause you to question it. It's just like, you know, and it's not the same thing, but it's something similar to the bond of a mother and a child. You know, like I hear a lot of stories about children who find their adoptive parents or vice versa. And one of the parties is always saying something similar to, I always knew, I always felt, I always was wondering. So, you know, there's a bond that can be formed that's so strong that it keeps the relationship credible, even if there isn't this constant daily communication. And then, like you said, you pick up when you left off. It's like you never missed a beat.
Yeah. And there's just something about those friendships that you are cultivated. And when people have just seen you at your worst and seen you at your best, there's just such a connection. Because I have truly been blessed by having so many amazing friends, even over 20 years later from high school, that I'm so close to. We don't talk every day. Sometimes we might talk once a year, but that's what it's like. I mean, there's friends that I don't talk to even once a, you know, every couple of years we connect, but you pick right up where you left off, and it's just like there's just something about that. It's just so comforting, and it's just someone that you just like they've seen you at your worst, they've still loved you at your worst, and so, and when you compare the mother to daughter, and I think a lot of my friends, I consider like sisters. They're not friends. Yeah. They're like sisters. Mm-hmm. It's like it's that bond and that connection that you make. So I love it. Even as an adult, the relationships that we cultivate and build, they're so important to who we are. So I love that.
It's interesting to say that because some people are closer to friends that are not blood relatives than they are to their own blood relatives because they have this cultivated relationship with these individuals that has been nurtured and it's been reciprocal and mutually beneficial and has been meaningful and very deep. And so you have this bond, like I said before, that has been formed that keeps that relationship solid even when there's time that passes in between. I'm like you. I have friends from, you know, back when I was in school, and we don't talk. I think the last time I talked to this particular person I'm thinking of was, I think, in 2009. And we keep in touch on Facebook, but the last time we saw each other was 2009. But I know the true blue friend. And you know, that, but that bond was created when we were in school together. and nothing ever happened to break it. And so if I see her tomorrow, it'll be like, hey, you know, hugging and laughing and reminiscing like nothing ever, like years had never transpired or gone by.
Yep. Like staying up all night chit-chatting about the old days.
Exactly.
The old days, the new days.
Exactly. Or eating ice cream or, you know, just fun stuff that, you know, you did back when you first.
Yeah. So we talked about the being aware of having, you know, the seasons and the reasons and the duration and the purpose of friends coming into our life in this friendship circle. What does that mean?
The friendship circle?
Well, you know, like having friends for, you know, and I say to my kids, you know, you have friends, they're around for a reason or a season, you know, that.
Yes.
So explain that a little more to us.
Well, you have to understand that friendships are not all created equal, and that once you understand that, then you're able to receive people for who they are and place them in a position in your life that will be optimal for the relationship. So in other words, if a person is incapable of connecting emotionally, for whatever reason, if they hurt or abuse and they just have a wall up and you just can't get through it, but you know that they're a good person, you know that they have a good heart, that's the kind of person you probably don't want to be in your inner circle because they can't connect on a deep level with you. And so in those times where you need that, they will not be able to give it to you. And I think people make the mistake of placing the wrong people in the wrong places, and then they're disappointed, and then they're mad. When if you just take the time to really get to know a person, you can see, okay, this person is not able to help me in that way. But if I need so-and-so to do this, I can go there and get that from her. You know, just like going back to the mother-daughter thing, I love my daughter dearly. She's my heart. She's my joy. But I can't go to her for advice about, you know, finances, you know, because her advice will be all wrong, and I will be disappointed and probably messed up if I listen to her because she's a teenager. But at the same time, if I need her to, you know, help me with the housework or help me grocery shop, she's the go-to person. You know, let's go to the grocery store and get some groceries. You kind of have to know the person, what they're able to do, how they're able to contribute, and then place them accordingly.
Yeah, and I think the other thing on that is some people are just placed in our life to learn a lesson. No matter how badly you want them in your life, that's all they're there for. They're there to learn that lesson. You know, these people that are unavailable and they just have they're very well maybe placed there to learn that lesson.
Yes.
You know, not everybody we come across is going to be our friend forever.
That's right. That's so
true. You know,
and sometimes we are placed in their lives to help them over a hump. And so I had a relationship recently that ended that, through prayer, I realized why, but for years we were friends and we had shared a lot of things together, and I had been with this person through some really tough times, and I realized one day, you know, I was trying to reach out. We hadn't talked in a while, and I tried to reach out, and I didn't hear from this person. They wasn't calling me back, and very uncharacteristic. They wasn't, you know, answering my emails, and I thought, this is really strange. So my first thought was, oh, my goodness, I hope she's okay. Let me call. So when I called, I got this kind of a cold, nice, but very cold kind of reception. And I thought, this is really unusual. What's going on? And I started praying, and I'm like, Lord, do you want me to pursue this? you know, and I felt the Lord say to me, no, that season is over. You know, you were in her life, needed you, and she's okay now. So, you know, move on. And I had peace about that. We didn't have a falling out. I didn't hurt her, to my knowledge. And I know she didn't hurt me. The relationship just ended. It was time for it to be. It had served its purpose. I had done what I believe God sent me to do to help her. And now the relationship was closed, and that chapter was closed. So it's very true, like you said, just for a season or for a reason or for both.
Yeah, right. So how do you know when it's time to let go? I know you're talking, like, with this friend, and, you know, it seemed fairly not obvious, but through prayer you got that sense that it was time to let go of that friendship. But, like, how do you know when a relationship or a friendship is one-sided? How do you come to terms with that? Because I think a lot of times we can see that, but we go through that denial. You know, so we don't want to see it. We deny it. Like, how do we come to terms with that? And, like, how do you break up with your friend? You know, how do you do that?
Going back to that same example, what helped me to come to terms with it, because with that particular friendship, she was letting me go. So, and I'm the kind of person, I like to make sure that I haven't offended anyone, that I haven't hurt anyone's feelings. I mean, no one's perfect, but I try my best. If I'm aware of something that I've done or it's been brought to my attention, I try my best to reconcile it. Even if the relationship can't be restored, I try my best to make things right. So my natural inclination was to try to fix it. And that was realized through prayer. No, you can't fix this, because this is something that has to happen. She's letting you go because she doesn't need you in that space anymore. And if you try to make this work, you will be operating in your own abilities, and you will make the situation worse. And so letting go of a friendship, you know, there's many reasons. There could be the relationship has changed. It's become unhealthy. It's become obsessive, harmful, detrimental to your development as a person, or psychologically, you know, where you feel like, okay, I can't, staying connected to this person on this level is going to hurt me, and so I have to start pulling away. So that goes back to answering your question about breaking up with a friend. You know, you don't write the note like, you know, you did in grade school, like, it's over.
We can't be friends anymore.
You know, it's over. Sorry. But you just start.
My mom says
away.
We can't play together anymore.
Exactly. My mom says, hey, come to your house. Like, wait, but you're 51. I know. Isn't that funny? She still told me that. But, yeah, I think you start pulling away. I think that there are signals that can be sent to say, you don't want to hurt the person's feelings. If you really care about the person and you really care about being a good person or a good example, you just kind of send a little signal, and you hope that individual will be able to receive it. Like, going back to my example, she sent me signals, and so I was able to receive it and not make a situation really complicated or awkward, you know, and just let her decide this is how it's going to be, and be at peace with that, and not take it personal.
Right. And, you know, I think it's great what you're saying. And I think the only other thing I want to add is it doesn't mean it has to be bad or awkward, you know, if you bump into these people. That doesn't mean you can't say hello or be cordial or friendly. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be, it doesn't mean it has to be nasty or just hurtful, or it just means sometimes we outgrow each other. Maybe you're you're raising your level of in your energy level, and so you're just outgrowing the people. And that's what happens when we work on ourselves and when we dig deep in ourselves and within and with God and everything, we elevate ourselves, and sometimes we just outgrow people.
Exactly. It's just like, you know, just in the natural, when you are a child and you outgrow your clothes, well, how do you know you've outgrown your shoes? Well, I outgrew them because they don't fit. That's how
they
I know. They're too tight.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, as you become more refined and developed, if those friendships aren't being refined along with you, like you said, you tend to outgrow. And it's nothing personal. It's just that your life is moving in a different place and at a different pace than before. And it's, like you said, and it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, of course, not only if a friendship ended on bad terms, it would be best to at least, you know, make things right. You may not be best friends again, but at least be at peace with each other. You know, at least be able to see each other, like you said, and be respectful and say hello and be very genuine in that and not, you know, not phony or not bitter.
Yeah. Be better, not bitter.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, bitterness is an ugly thing.
It's really a contaminant. It just touches everything, you know. It just flows everywhere, and it taints everything. And it comes out in very unusual ways, you know, a bitter person. Yeah. And the interesting thing about it is the person that's bitter, they can't see it, but everyone else can.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes, yes. So, okay, you hear the word frenemy thrown around. She's my frenemy. What is a frenemy?
You know, I don't know. the way I was raised and grew up, you had friends and you had enemies. You kind of knew who you could roll with and knew you needed to stay away from. But I think this term, you know, it might be a generational thing. It might be something that young people use a lot. But I'm thinking just by the name of it, the phrase, and how they kind of combine those two words together, I think it's someone that you love to hate, I guess.
Maybe. I think about it. It's like, is that one of those things where you keep your friends close but your enemies closer, or what?
I don't know. I don't want any frenemies. I'll tell you that. I do not. I'll pass on that. But, you know, perhaps maybe I could say, though, is that, you know, if you're doing things the right way, your enemies will be at peace with you. So they may not like you per se, but they won't try to hurt you. And then those who do, if you stay the path and you stay focused and you respond properly, whatever they try to do, you can always leverage to your benefit.
So
I don't know if that's what that means.
Maybe. You know, and I love that you said that, because I don't know, maybe this is where I hear the frenemy thing in, because, you know, with teenage girls, but I'm going to say this because it has to do with us as adults too, but I see it all the time with the kids and their friends, and then the friends that have the drama, and it's like they get these friends that just tear them down and everything, and they have a hard time and they struggle with it. But I think as adults we do too, and as I tell them, the bigger you are, the more they're going to pull you down. So you almost have to soar high enough that they can't reach you. Because no matter what you do, there are going to be people out there that they don't have good intentions. And you'll see that And it may not be easy to part from these people. They may try and tear you down, but like you said, if you stay your path, mm-hmm. it's going to be easier to get past that. But, you know, if you're letting them suck you in, and that's mm-hmm. what I tell my girls, you know, the higher you are, the more they're going to try and pull you down. You just, sometimes that's just something you have to work through and work on yourself and your confidence enough that they can't reach you.
Exactly.
No matter how
also,
hard they try.
I tell my daughter this all the time. Reassess your circle of friends. If you find
yeah.
that you're in a continuous cycle of drama and bickering
yeah.
and pettiness,
mm-hmm.
then you have to ask
mm-hmm.
yourself, well, why? Why is my life full with all this drama? You know,
mm-hmm.
because that's on to something, you know, or you allow it or you permit it.
Yeah.
So just so, you're not, so that you're not by yourself, so that you're not alone, so that you don't stick out or stand out. You don't want to
yeah.
be the oddball in
yeah.
the whole circle. So you permit certain
mm-hmm.
things so that you can just be included. But I always tell her,
yeah.
reassess and look at,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's going on. You may need to make some adjustments. You may need to start pulling away.
Yeah.
You may need to start making some changes. So that your life
yeah.
can have this balance where you're having,
mm-hmm.
you know, friendships that are mutually beneficial, that are reciprocal, that
yes.
are uplifting and positive.
Yes, yes. Talking about this, all I can think of is Eleanor Roosevelt said once that no one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you have given them the consent, then don't get mad when they do.
Yeah. Yeah. So
because
very
they're
true.
Only
so very true.
They're only doing what you've given them the consent to do. It's like
yeah.
respect. You know, you have to show people that you deserve and you should be respected. And so if
yeah.
you allow yourself to continually be disrespected, then don't be mad when you
mm-hmm.
are.
Yeah.
Because, like I said before, it's a cycle. And you get sucked into it. And you almost have to forcibly break it and remove yourself out of it
mm-hmm.
by
mm-hmm.
making different choices.
Yes. Yes. Oh, wow. Good stuff. So I want to ask you, so tell us, like, what is your... what's like the craziest thing you ever did with your friends? That's what we're talking about, friendship. And we all have those crazy friends and those crazy moments. Do you have one that you just, every time you think about it or you guys catch up, you just like can't, you just go back to that time?
Oh, well, I can think of a few because I grew up as an only girl with four brothers. So, I was a tomboy, so I was always
uh-huh.
you know, putting up my knees and scraping up my elbows. My mother used to say to me, oh, gosh, you're never going to be a supermodel. Look at those legs, because they would be scratched up and everything, bleeding. And, but anyways, one thing in particular, I just remember my best friend, we lived at each other's houses, just, you know, it was just
mm-hmm.
if I wasn't at her house, she was at my house. That's just the way it was. Our families were very close. We went to church together. We prayed together.
Mm-hmm.
Really like an extension of my family. And so
mm-hmm.
her father was amazing. He would like
mm-hmm.
pretend like he was a monster and come and get you. And what he would do when he caught you was he would tickle you. Now, I didn't know that. But the thing was, he told his daughter, because he would do it to her, and he would say, the only way I'm going to stop is if you give me a new victim. So guess where this story is going. So I get to our house, and we're sitting, and her room was in the attic, and we're sitting in the attic, and all of a sudden I hear like this howl, like a wolf just howling. And I looked at her, I'm like, is that a wolf? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, you don't hear that. And I'm sitting there like, okay, am I going crazy? Do I, you know, what's going on? So she's like, something out of a horror movie, right? So she leaves, lights go off, and I'm just like,
I'm getting
set up for something. I don't like this at all. I'm in the attic, so there's nowhere for me to go, okay? And all of a sudden, I see her father coming up with this flashlight, howling and growling, and I'm screaming, like, Lord, forgive me for every sin that I've ever committed in life. I want to go to heaven when I die. I'm confessing. And he gets up to me, and he just starts tickling me. It's horrible. But it was funny at the same time. It was just one of those things that, you know, that was just one of the many things that we did growing up that was just hilarious. So,
that is so funny.
He sold me out.
That's too funny. So
yeah,
I do have a couple more questions, and then we'll close. But if anybody does want to call in and share a great story from with their friends or about their friends, we'd love to hear it. The number is 657-383-1577. Just use the number 1 and to get on with us. And join us and share your story, because I love hearing stuff like that. So that's great. That is great. So, it probably wasn't the craziest thing, but one of my most fondest memories with my friends is I was pregnant when I was young. I was 16 years old when I got pregnant, and which was one of the most best things that happened, but not the best, you know what I mean? It's not something you ever want to happen, but it turned out that, you know, I was heading down a bad path. So it kind of, it was the head start to the straight and narrow, I guess you can say. But, you know, I had my friends there, like I was 16, I had no money, you know, and couldn't drive, had no money, but, you know, I was so fortunate to have friends that they took me to the pharmacy. They gave me the pregnancy test. They read the pregnancy test because I couldn't even look at it. I'm still friends with them to this day. I'm so forever grateful for them. I mean, I have lots of crazy stories that just are insane, and from then until, you know, but that's one of my, like, the thing that really, to me, that's friendship. That really resonates with me, and that's what true friends do for each other, you know.
Exactly.
They're there through the good, the bad, the ugly, you know. They're there and they stick by your side. They don't bail at the first sign of, you know, something bad happening, or, you know, you see these posts and on Facebook is, okay, we're arrested together, what did we do? You know, it's those are the things that, not that you ever want to be arrested, but this stuff, you think of friendship, that's what you think of. It's those people that are going to be there for you through thick and thin, no matter what. So I think this is great topic.
I mean, like you were saying, you know, they've seen the worst of you, because that's the true test of a friendship, you know. Are you able to see the insecurity in that person, failings of that person, their mistakes, and still say, I am your friend. Even though you've made this mistake, even though you're not, you're flawed as we all are, I see your heart, I see your motives, and I know you're a good person, and I'm with you thick and thin. That's the test of a friendship. Can you look at a person and say that? Because everyone loves you when things are great. When you're on the mountaintop, what about when you're in the valley? What about when you screw up and you do something awful? You know, who's going to be there then?
Who's going to pick you up when you fall?
Exactly.
So tell us, what would you like our listeners to leave with today?
You know, I'm thinking, and one of the things that came to me is to never, ever allow your circumstances to shape your outlook on life and on mm-hmm. people. Always yes. be the best in people, even if you can't be that bosom buddy with them, even if the relationship mm-hmm. has ended, even if they don't receive your kindness and they shun yeah. you and they reject you, and even if they ignore you, still yeah. don't allow that to shape you and make you harden to the fact that there's good in them. And yeah. look at through eyes of compassion, remembering that someone has to have compassion with you and mercy with you. So I would say to that listener that's listening, never allow circumstances in life to make you jaded. Because once you stop
yeah.
people as people, and once you stop seeing people as precious, then you're going down a dark road, and you're opening yourself to doing things that are inhuman, because you stop seeing people as you start seeing them as something else.
Yes. Oh, wow, that's great. So we do have a caller from 203 joining us. Welcome to Your Fuller Life. What's your name?
Hi, Mia Petway. How are you?
I'm good, Mia. How are you?
I'm
Hi,
okay.
Mia.
I can't complain. Hey,
that's
sis.
That's my girl. That's my girl.
I've been listening, and wow, a lot of revelation and a lot of forgiveness that I must do on behalf of other people, and hopefully others can forgive me. But the question I had was more towards the friendship part. Like, I think that the word friendship is, or friend, is used so broad now that people have mm-hmm. redefined it but just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your thought of what friend means, or friendship? Because I agree, a lot of my friends are like my sisters. They're the next level. I don't mm-hmm. have a lot of friends. I can count who I call a friend, but I can count many that I call sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the mm-hmm. defining definition of friend?
Good
Leanne,
question, Lori.
Go first? No.
No, go for it.
You know, well, first of all, Mia is my friend and my sister. That's my girl. So thank you for calling. I love you. And
love you too.
I would say that a friendship is, if you look at the definition of the word friendship, it's something that is beneficial. It brings goodwill to you. It's a person mm-hmm. that's kind and thoughtful. And I think that if you go back to the definition of friendship, then you can assess it properly. So a friendship for me is a relationship that is reciprocal. It's give and take, not one-sided. So if I am associating with somebody and they're always taking, or I'm always mm-hmm. in a position where I'm always having to feed them and they never feed me, then for me, I call that an assignment. That's an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a friendship. And I look at it as, okay, Lord, you assigned this person to me so that I can give out to them, but I'm not looking to them to reciprocate. I'm going to go somewhere else and get what I need.
Wow.
And that distinction.
Yeah. That's awesome. And you know what, Mia, the only thing I would like to say and add to that, and I think we've discussed it some already, is a friendship is somebody who is going to be there for you. They're going to be that person who's going to pick you up when you're down. And it is somebody that you can call a sister. You know, it's somebody that, and it's, you know, it's, we all have different stages of friendship in our life. We have new, we have old, we have, you know, ones that we're still working on. But I think that really is the true thing, is who's going to be there for you when you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's,
wow.
that's where you'll mm-hmm. find your true friendships, because you're so right. With Facebook, everybody's a friend. So.
Everybody is your friend. Absolutely.
Everybody's your friend.
And as a seasoned, I won't say how old, but as a seasoned age, I'm always open to learn and listen and learn something valuable, because I, too, when I'm speaking to my daughters or younger generation, mm-hmm. you're trying to define that friend to them because, yes, everybody's your friend. It's like, no, everybody's not your friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I love what Lori just said because it just kind of opened up some new ideas and said, wow, okay, that makes a lot of sense. It's definitely the reciprocal part. Even if they're not there every day, if you don't speak to them, I love the fact that in a time of need, they know when to show up.
That's the key, Mia. That's the key. Because a friend is going to help you based on their ability to help you. Some friends will be able to help you more than others. But whatever they can do, they're going to do it. And they're going to show up and do it. And they're going to do it with the right attitude.
Thank you so much for calling, Mia. That was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Y'all have a
Lori,
great night.
Really, thank you. Lori, really thank quick, we're out of time. Tell us where we can reach you.
Well, you can reach me on, if you're on Facebook, since we've been talking about social media, it's facebook.com/thegoodlifewithlori. And Lori is spelled L-O-R-I. So facebook.com/thegoodlifewithlori, or you can go to my website at lori-stancil.com, and that will connect you to me and connect you to what I'm doing and kind of follow me and see some of the things that I have planned, especially for next year. Next year is going to be a very exciting year. So definitely like the page, share it with your friends, and just follow me. See what I'm doing.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect. So you can find Lori there. You can find myself at lovingyourfullerlife.com or on Facebook, Fuller Life LLC. And I would love to reach out to Lori, reach out to myself. Let's connect, you know. I'm always open to building those friendships and actually connecting. I love to connect. I love to build friendships. I love to build each other up and work together and collaborate. And, you know, so definitely reach out to us. And, you know, with the new year coming, it's such a great time to reflect. And I know Lori and I can both help with that. So, Lori, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun, and I hope we can do it again, and I can't wait till our next collaboration.
Yes, it'll be coming soon, and I can't wait to get your interview, so I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yes, I know. Yours was amazing. So thank you so much, and everybody, thank you for tuning in and listening in with us. Again, tune in next week, same time, same place, and we will talk to you then. Until then, have a fabulous week. I love you all. Thank you. Have a good night. Bye, Lori.
Bye, Leanne.